The topic that I am going to preach today is sins of church worship. If you remember in the Ten Commandments, God told, "For thou shalt worship no other God, for the Lord whose name is a jealous God." So we are told to worship no other God but the living God. Now what is the meaning of worship? Worship really means adoration, loving, admiring, idolizing, praying in reverence and honor, respect, and being submissive means that you're obedient. This is true worship. Moses said to the Israelites in Deuteronomy chapter 8 verse 19, "And it shall be, if thou do all, forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other God, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you this day that you shall surely perish." You shall surely perish. Moses said, if you go and worship other gods, if you pay more attention, more adoration, more love, and submissive and honor other gods. It could be your house. It could be a car. It could be your husband. It could be materialism or possessions or anything than the other God and than the living God. You will perish. If you idolize anyone else more than the living God, if you idolize anybody, a person that you love to hear them singing, or an actor or an actress or anybody more than the living God, and if you admire and adore anyone more than the living God, if you love somebody more than the living God, if you are not obedient to the living God's word in the Bible, then you shall surely perish. That's what it says in the Bible. Worship is an internal thing. It's not an external show off. And Jesus said, "Woe be to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you make clean the outer side of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of bribery and excess. The blind Pharisees cleanse first the inside of the cup and the platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe be to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like unto white tombs, which appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and all filthiness." Now, hypocrites are pretenders of Christianity. They pretend, or they show to others that they are Christians. They haven't made any discoveries of the glory of God. They prefer the glories of this earth more than the glory of God. And they love the filth of the sins of this earth more than the living God. They have no true love and honor to our beloved Lord and Savior. So they are pretenders. They honor the Lord Jesus with their lips, but their hearts are far away from Him. From time to time, they reject Christ Jesus for their worldly interest. When their worldly interest comes, they forget the Lord. They make a show of being the worshippers of God, but this is all hypocrisy. Now in this context, let us consider the sins of church worship. Now outside the church, when people come together and gather, they wear their dresses, you know, they have their makeups and they are beautifully dressed, they have their Bibles on, and they smile at people, and they come all together to fellowship, they look pretty nice. But let us lift up the veil and see internal sins of public worship in the church. Let me ask you a question. Why do people go to church? Many go to church as a tradition. Formality for Christians to go to church on Sunday morning, just to pay their duty to God. Many of these people admire God on Sunday. They sing songs. They love to hear the word preach. And they love God on Sundays. So attending church is to pay their duty to God. But they have no obedience. They have no love. They have no adoration of God for the rest of the 6 days. These people are called hypocrites. Today, there are many who are so fond of Hollywood stars, the sports stars, the music stars. They know all the programs in the TV. They adore and admire these stars and these singers and actors more than the living God. They are excited to talk about the football games, the basketball games, and the sales in the stores, or many are busy today in the internet, and they have no time to read the Word of God. People are excited, and they adore worldly, attractive things, but they have no excitement to talk on the Bible. Their lips, their hearts are not centered on God. Their lips are all worldly things, but their hearts are not centered on God. When they talk, there's no God mentioned. God is absent in their conversation. God is a boring subject to them. God is only good for a specific time, only for Sundays. It's God is limited. Only for a Bible study, only for a prayer meeting, only for Sundays. But God is not in their lifestyles. And these people are called hypocrites. On Sunday, they go to church, like going to a lecture. They focus on the sermons, could be very intently. They listen and turn their Bibles and they sing worship songs. And as soon as the church is over, the lecture is done. They run to their worldly activities. And in a few minutes, they've forgotten everything what was said. In a few minutes, they are already talking on worldly things as their hearts are centered on the worldly things. He forgot everything what the preacher said. And the preacher has labored his time, prayerfully, taking time, diligently studying and giving this spiritual food to the people. But the people come and take it as a duty and they forget. That's just a duty. It's a tradition. They are hypocrites. Even on the Lord's Day, they are having fellowship. They have fellowship, but their talk is all centered on worldly things. Jesus is not the center. God is far away from them. They say they love God. They say they adore God. But when the veil is lifted, we see a full-born hypocrite. Now, hypocrites, they are pretenders. They are very good counterfeits. Very difficult to say that they are hypocrites. They are Christians outside, but an unbeliever inside. There are many of them in the church. And this is very hard. It's very hard to distinguish them as they look like the saints in the church. Only way to distinguish them is to put a hidden camera in their home, in their house. Let me tell you something what C.H. Spurgeon said. Spurgeon said, "They are the most devout hypocrites. They are the most pious formalists. They could be discovered, ranged the wide world over. Their religion on the Sabbath, day is the most superfine order. Their godliness, when they are in the pews, cannot be exceeded. They sing with the most eloquent praise. They pray the longest and most hypocritical prayer that man could utter. They are just up to the mark in every religious point of view, except on the point which looks to the heart. As far as the externals of godliness go, there is nothing to be desired. So, it is very true. These hypocrites, they bring what? Dishonor to God. Not honor, because their lifestyle is totally different. This is not in my notes, but if you see in your Bible, if you turn with me to Romans, verse 1, Romans 12:1 says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. That is true spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, by the testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. So the true spiritual worship is living in obedience to God. That is your true worship. And another great Puritan theologian, Jonathan Edwards, said on the hypocrites. Jonathan Edwards said, but hypocrites are monsters. And they are very strong on this. They are saints' tongue. They are the saints' tongue. They have the saints' tongue and the devil's heart. These members do not well consist together. They are inconsistent with themselves as they go about to serve two masters, God and Mammon, which Christ has taught us to be great inconsistency. They are like inconsistent as the Samaritans were, who would serve God and Israel and their own God. In 2 Kings, you will see how the Samaritans did it. 2 Kings chapter 17, verse 28. So one of the priests whom they had carried away from Samaria came and lived in Bethel and taught them how they should fear the Lord. But every nation still made gods of its own and put them in the shrine of the high places that the Samaritans have made, every nation in the cities in which they lived. Here we see how the Samaritans, they serve God, they worship God, and also they had other gods. Christ Jesus is going to judge the hypocrites in the church. He's going to clean the church. He is going to purify the church with fire and judgment. Hypocrites can fool other Christians. Even they can fool their own pastor. But they cannot fool Jesus Christ. They need to give an account to Jesus Christ. One day, when you die, all your hypocrisy will be exposed. Jesus said in Hebrews chapter 4 verse 13, and no creature is hidden from his light, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. Yes, you may be able to fool your fellow Christians, your pastor, even your husband, even your wife, even your children, your friends, but you cannot fool the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he sees your motives and your heart, what is inside. And sin is the business of any unbeliever. It is their trade and life, as he is a slave to sin. Sin controls them. And flesh is in charge. The hypocrites make a profession of religion. But their lifestyle, they are so odious. Means it smells terrible to God. As they do not live pleasing God. They live to please their flesh. They live in disobedience. And they have no love and affection to God. They are abominable to God. Now, if you read the book of Amos, you will see Amos attacking the popular religion of that day. He sees the worshippers sacrifice. He sees a lot of worshippers, a lot of pilgrims coming to worship. He sees the sacrifices are plentiful, attractive offerings. They give a lot of good offerings. I mean, it's so good. But it's a show-off. He tells the Israelites in Amos chapter 4 verse 12, prepare to meet your God. Are you prepared to meet your God? Are you prepared to meet your God one day? If God is going to, if when you die, are you ready to meet your God? If you are living in hypocrisy, you should shudder and fall at the feet of Jesus. Now, what is true worship? True worship is from the heart. It's not an external show-off. It's from the heart. And true worship will affect your personal life. As we saw in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, that we are not to conform to this world, but the true worship is our lifetime, is our lifestyle in obedience to God's word. True worship, what will true worship do? You know, if you're not going to, if you go to church every day, every Sunday, and if you read your Bible, and if it's not going to change your heart, your lifestyle, that's just a duty that you have performed. Because true worship will change your life. All your expensive possessions, your house, your car, and all your belongings, they're going to decay one day. You cannot serve and adore your home, your favorite artist, your idols, your life, and God at the same time. Jesus said in true worship, in John chapter 4, verse 24, Jesus said, God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So here we see, worshipping a God has to be spiritual. Because Jesus said, God is spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit, not in the flesh, and in truth. So the worship of God is not fleshly, but spiritual. And the worship of God is based on God's word, that is the truth, not any human inventions. God himself is spirit. So if God is spirit, we have to worship him in spirit. And the word of God is the truth. We cannot add or have our own inventions to worship God. So true worship begins, when does the true worship begin? In regeneration. When you are truly born again, when you are truly regenerated, what happens? The Holy Spirit comes and dwells in you. The work of the Holy Spirit is what? To adore God. We will be drawn by God. How do we adore God? And how are we being drawn by God? By His Word. So we'll be changed by the will, by His Word, we will be changed to His will. We will be conformed to His image. The Holy Spirit gives us a hunger and a love for God. And you will see a change of heart. And the result of it is a change of behavior. And a change of true worship. And a change of totally a lifestyle. And a love and a hunger, adoration to God. And all your stars of the Hollywood, your things that you love so much, and all the double standard life that you lived before, you know, serving God and at the same time serving or following after the worldly things and the worldly material things, your possessions, that will go away. Yes, God is going to be the center. And there's going to be some sacrifice. You will deny those things when they come. You will crucify those things. Nevertheless, not you, but Christ will live in you. Many of you have been living in hypocrisy. You have been living a double standard lifestyle. You are showing yourself to be a Christian to your Christian friends. But in reality, you know, you really know, when you go home, you live another lifestyle. And you know that you have forgotten everything what was said in the sermons. You have heard sermon after sermon after sermon after sermon. Hundreds and hundreds of sermons you have heard. But your lifestyle still remains the same. There's no change. So, my friends, just Sunday going to church and performing a duty. And if you are not living to God on what you hear on Sunday service, that's a sin. And that's hypocrisy. As a sin, you're going to church, you hear the word of God, and you convicted for a little time. Then you go back and live another lifestyle. That's a sin. That's the sin of church worship. So, when you forget God for the rest of the days, rest of the 6 days, you forget God. Maybe you may have a little prayer, a little Bible study here and there, and then you forget Him again. And the God is not the center in your life. God cannot be mocked. You're deceiving yourself, but God cannot be deceived. And I pray that you will mourn of your hypocrisy today. And that you will cry out to God, you will mourn, and your bones will ache. Just like how David sinned against God. His bones were aching. And that you won't be able to drink or eat anything. You won't be able to go to sleep until you confess your sins to the Lord. And I pray that just confessing your sins is one thing. That is confessing with your heart and believing in your heart, confessing with your mouth and believing in your heart, then there's another thing that goes. Repentance is really living. Repentance is really changing. So confessing one thing, and you can say, oh God, I'm a sinner. I confess that I have been living as a hypocrite. But there's another thing to repent. And repent is that you need to change. That means when you confess, then you need to change with your confession. That means you are going to take this sermon seriously. That means you're going to really read the word. You're going to really love God from the bottom of your heart. You're going to adore Him, follow Him. That is a change. That is true repentance that comes from the bottom of your heart. Then Jesus will forgive you. And He will give you a new heart. And you will see the change. You will see the change. And you will be surprised. It's not what you have performed. It's not what you have done. But God has given you a new heart. And a change of behavior. And your lifestyle will be changed. And you will give glory to God